The Apostle Paul has landed in Thessalonica. Life has not been easy for him, not been straightforward. He has, as you read at the beginning of this chapter 2, he has suffered, been insulted in Philippi, faced strong opposition. So what will he do? What will he do with the message that God has given to him? What will he do with the gospel that God has entrusted to him? There are all these different voices around him, disagreeing with him, insulting him, this strong opposition, and it would be so easy just to say what people wanted to hear, to please the people. Those folks who are disagreeing, just agree with them. Those people who are that strong opposition, just say what they want to hear. People who are insulting him, just flatter them. It would be so easy for the Apostle Paul to be a people pleaser. In that situation, we probably wouldn't blame him. Just in the midst of all that's going on there, all of those arguments, all of that hassle, all of the opposition, all of the persecution that's going on, we really wouldn't blame him if he decided just to please people. But he doesn't. Here's what he says. We're not trying to please men, but God. That's on his heart. Yes, there are all these different voices, all these different arguments, all these different things going on around him. But he's determined not just to please everybody around him, but first of all, to please God. Now, as Presbyterians, that shorter catechism is part of our DNA. And I don't know how far you can go into reciting it, but we can all get the first one. I'm probably the only one that we all remember, really. What is man's chief end?
Glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
I knew you were above average intelligence. You would get that one. Yeah. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And we know that. And everything about us should be aiming for that goal, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So everything that we do, everything that we say, every relationship that we have with other people, those things should be glorifying to God. The gifts that God has given to us, the opportunities that we have to serve Him, all those things used to glorify Him, even enduring difficulties. And we all face them. Used to glorify God. Everything is handled in such a way as to give God glory. And we know that. That's part of our DNA. Whether we actually do it or not is another question, but we know it. But equally we're all called to please God. To please God. Now there's a question. Does the way you live your life please God? Does the way I live my life please God? I have to say, when I ask myself that question, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. Does the way we live our lives please God? Jesus didn't live to please himself. Here's what he says. In the midst of opposition from some of the Jewish leaders around him, he simply says, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what I want to do. I always do what pleases me. I always do what pleases him." Now that's how Jesus lived. That's our calling. To do what pleases him. So how do we please God? Well, lots of different ways, but let me just highlight a few for you. Faith. The letter to the Hebrews says that without faith it is impossible to please God. This is saving faith. Without experiencing the love of God for us in Jesus Christ, without that saving faith at work in our lives, it's impossible to please God. Faith pleases God. Praise. The psalmist writes, I will praise God's name in song, glorify him with thanksgiving, and this will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with his horns and hooves. We know sometimes we're very good at giving those offerings, and that's right and proper and good. But if it's not matched up with our lives of praise, then it doesn't please God. Faith, praise, generosity. One stage, Paul received gifts, and this is what he says. These gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, which is pleasing to God. Our generosity. Our obedience to authority. It's not a popular idea, being obedient. There's something about us that doesn't sit well with. And yet, here's what the Bible says. Children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. These are all different ways that we can please the Lord. And we should be living in this way. God takes pleasure in us as we serve him. He gives us what we need. The writer to the Hebrews also says, he equips us with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. May God work in us what is pleasing to him. Our lives should be pleasing to him. Of course, we please God through our relationship with him. If we don't have a relationship with God, we're not going to please him. Abraham was simply known as the friend of God. Jesus called his disciples his friends. Paul speaks of the church as a family of God, as the bride of Christ. And like friends and family, God and his people have pleasure in each other. We all know that feeling when we come together with good friends, with family. It's just lovely to be together. And we take that pleasure in each other most of the time. God and his people have that pleasure in each other, that joy in each other, in a relationship with him. And he invites us into that relationship. We don't have to struggle our way in. We don't have to earn our way in, because we never could. He gives his one and only son so that through faith in him we become his children. We come into that relationship and into that pleasing relationship. And we live to please him. God's love, which is living and active, compels us to use our talents, our time, our energy, our resources in lots of different ways. But in ways that please him. Let me give you one example of mercy. Showing mercy. In Luke's gospel, we're called to be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So as we become more and more Christ-like in our lives, showing mercy, our lives become more pleasing to God. God works in us to do that which is pleasing to him, and the cycle goes on. Like Paul in the church in Thessalonica, we're called to please him. Sometimes, for lots of different reasons, we have this picture of God as being a bit of an ogre who will never be pleased. Maybe you remember that teacher that you could never please, no matter what you did. And sometimes in our heads we have this picture of God who's just grumpy and looking for faults and looking for any time we step out of line. And yet, those verses that were read with the children, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you." God takes delight in you. Your life pleases him. He takes delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The God of all the universe, this God delights over you with singing, rejoices in you. That's an amazing thing. Astonishing, but true. When we live those lives that please him. So we're back to that question. How are you living your life? Please everybody around you? Well, you probably have worked out you can't do that. Or to please God. May God give us the grace to live lives that both honor and glorify him, but that please him. And may we have the reassurance of knowing his delight in us as we serve him. Let's pray together. Father, we live our lives in lots of different ways, with lots of different motives, for lots of different reasons. And so help us, we pray, to remember the extent of your love for us in Jesus, and then in all that we do, to seek to glorify you and to please you. And all this we ask in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen.